This is Real Estate Rookie episode 399. There is never a right time to start investing. Our guest today is happier she did it sooner rather than later because her life took an unexpected turn. My name is Ashley Kerr and I'm here with Tony J. Robinson.
And welcome to the Real Estate Rookie Podcast, where every week, three times a week, we bring you the inspiration, motivation, and stories you need to hear to kickstart your investing journey. Now, today's guest, Sarah Masuya, is an investor out of Maine, and despite a hard life with some circumstances, she's been able to create financial freedom in just 3 years by following and executing a plan. And she believes it's always best to buy real estate and wait versus waiting to buy real estate. So Sarah, welcome to the Real Estate Rookie Podcast. Super excited to have you on.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
So Sarah, in the beginning of the intro here, we mentioned that, you know, you started investing and then you had this life change. What was that life change and how was real estate kind of an effect on and play on that?
So it started a while ago. So my son was born prematurely in 2021. He was on oxygen and that was a rough road in and of itself. We thought we got through all of that. And then this past year, his daycare started noticing some indications that he should be checked out further. In November, we got the diagnosis of autism. So that's that piece. My investments were already kind of well underway at that point, but it set me up to be able to be there for him however he needs, you know, going forward, knowing that.
And Sarah, I'm curious as to, is that just monetary or is that also time? Have you been able to give more time with your son because of real estate investing? Maybe you can actually just dive more into what those actual benefits are that you started investing sooner rather than later.
Yeah, definitely. So there's all kinds of thoughts around autism. I'm of the belief that it can be that you can lose your diagnosis with certain kind of, I guess you could say, biomedical treatments, like not mainstream stuff. So I've kind of taken a pause from real estate over the past couple of months. I just started back like last month, seriously, becoming a doctor and educating myself on all of those things because it's not really something that regular medical doctors know anything about. I don't know if you guys have heard of Jenny McCarthy, the actress, but her son had autism and he has lost his diagnosis. So I went to Texas to a conference to find that doctor and was able to get my son to be able to see him, but it's private pay. So it's $575, I think, an hour. And then it takes a long time for all the benefits to kick in, like speech therapy. There's all these hoops you have to jump through. So because of real estate, we were able to private pay speech therapy three times a week while waiting for all the benefits to kick in. And then he's got, you know, therapies and different things throughout the week. So had I worked as a bank manager still, I wouldn't have been able to do that. He would have just had to go to regular daycare and he would have not been able to get that additional help that, you know, might make a big difference in his outcome.
What an incredible story, right? Yeah, I think, and we always talk about why we invest in real estate. And for a lot of people, it's the, you know, the big three: freedom of time, freedom of money, freedom of movement, right? Like they want to travel the world. But when you really think about what being a real estate investor and having that additional stream of income provides for you, it's moments like this, right? Where you don't have to worry about taking time off. You don't have to worry about how we're going to cover these bills. You can just do the things that need to be done. And I think there's an incredible amount of peace that comes from reaching that level of success in your business. And, you know, kudos to you, Sarah, for building that up and then being able to leverage it when the time called for it.
So you mentioned that you had a job as a loan officer. Was that it?
A bank manager.
A bank manager. Okay. So how did you make that transition from bank manager to real estate?
Yeah. So when I was pregnant with my son, I had some complications, so I had to leave work early. So I was out of work for, I think, about 9 months. Some of it was paid, some of it was not paid while we got him kind of stabilized. And then I went back to work as a bank manager, but was calling out all the time because of different things going on with him. So I took a job working from home and I had a boss again, which I hadn't really had a boss in many, many years at that point. And I really couldn't handle it. I just hated my life every day. And it was just not good. He liked to, it just wasn't a good situation. So we had bought the house hack that prior, like towards the end of my leave. It was actually like one day before I would no longer have income, according to the bank, like before my unpaid leave started. And so that allowed us to basically not have a mortgage payment. And my mother-in-law also came from Tanzania during that time. So we had free childcare. So I was thinking, now's the time. If there's ever going to be a time, our bills are about as low as they're going to be. I asked my husband and he gave me his blessing that he would handle the financial stuff while I tried to just go into real estate full-time. So at first I thought that meant being a full-time wholesaler, but I pivoted to just the realtor business pretty quickly. I learned that was the path of least resistance. So I made money after about 3 months of not making money after I quit my job.
Well, Sarah, I'm really excited to get into the house hack and your journey since then. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I want to break down what your portfolio looks like today and how you were able to find a house hack where your home mortgage was completely paid for. We'll be right back.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right. Get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
Are current interest rates making you depressed about cash flow? What if it didn't have to be that way? Rent to Retirement has 2.99% seller financing available on turnkey properties. You heard that right. That's a seller-financed 2.99% interest rate where the average cash flow is over $900 per month. They also have options where you can put as low as 5% down on multiple investment properties with no PMI. Rent to Retirement is the nation's leading turnkey investment company that understands what it takes to be successful in today's dynamic real estate market. Their reputation speaks for itself with more 5-star reviews than any other company on the BiggerPockets website. Rent to Retirement offers fully turnkey properties that are newly built or renovated, leased and managed, allowing you to invest with confidence in the markets that offer the best returns. To learn more, visit renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com. Or text REI to 33777. Again, text REI to 33777.
You're trying to close on your next rental, so why is your insurance company dragging its feet? With long lead times and never-ending paper forms, it's no wonder it takes forever to finally get a policy. Modern investors deserve better. They deserve Steadily.com. At Steadily.com, you'll get fast, affordable landlord insurance available online 24/7 in just a few clicks. You can even get next-day coverage, which takes just minutes, by the way, to obtain. And you can do it all from your phone. Steadily was founded by landlords who created insurance products tailored to the unique needs of this industry. It's their sole focus, and that's why landlords nationwide consistently rate them 4.8 out of 5 stars. So whether you've got a single family, short-term, or multifamily portfolio, Steadily.com can secure the best coverage at the best price to protect your properties. Discover how Steadily can save you both time and money on your rental property insurance. Visit Steadily.com for a commitment-free quote tailored to your needs today.
Okay, we are back with Sarah. We learned about her journey in real estate and how it was such a benefit for her to be able to give her son what he needs and to be able to be there for him, which I think is so important. And now we're going to get into Sarah's portfolio and also the details on her house hack. So Sarah, what does your portfolio look like today?
So it's $3.1 million in value. We have 7 buildings, 15 units total. The cash flow is about $80,000 a year after all expenses. And we have a 15 unit under contract now that we're closing April 17th.
Congratulations. That's incredible. So what is this timeline? When was the first property purchase?
February of 2021.
Wow. Incredible.
So Sarah, congratulations, right? We're talking about 3 years from when you started to when we're recording this, just over. So amazing progress in a relatively short period of time, right? $80,000 in net cash flow a year is amazing. But I'm sure you didn't just, you know, stumble into that kind of success. You probably made some kind of plan and attacked that plan. So walk us through, like, how did you end up finding your niche within real estate investing? And I guess, what is that niche that you've leveraged so far?
I don't even know that I have one at this point. I feel like I've done a little bit of everything. It's more of, you know, I take it piece by piece. So the first one was I actually listened to your podcast, Tony, before you were on this podcast. And then I also listened to the Real Estate Rookie podcast, just all of them at once during 2020, during COVID, while I was doing house projects. And I just had to figure out some way to get in. I was looking at auction properties, doing, you know, hard money flips, like that type of thing. And then I found out I was pregnant. So I just decided to do the easiest thing, but still doing something, because I was either going to just kind of give up on it and wait till later or do that. So the first one, I took the step to get a HELOC on my property in September of 2020. And I used that 20% down on a single family home that was $113,000 as a long-term rental. And then from there, you know, I had my son and we needed a bigger house. So we actually went under contract on a single family home and my husband decided he didn't like the location. So we pulled out and then started thinking more seriously about the duplex house hack. So we ended up doing that there. From there, it's just been, you know, pulling equity out of properties to buy other properties. And then last year was pretty much all creative finance, BRRRR, private money, hard money type of stuff.
What tips would, I want to know first, before we go into even the details of the deal, or what tips can you give other investors who kind of want to go the same path as you, as to starting out with a house hack and then all of a sudden within 2 years, making all these decisions, do creative finance, do hard money? What are some of the things that you implemented where you were able to just be able to pivot and transition and find ways to get creative with getting your properties?
Yeah. So I think it's just, I listen to podcasts pretty much all the time. If I was on the road or getting ready or at the gym or whatever I was doing, I was always listening and learning. And then I would take action off of that. I'm a quick start. My personality, it doesn't take a lot to get me moving into action. So I kind of just fail forward. You know, I keep, I just move along with what I think is right until something stops me. And then I either change directions or if nothing stops me, then I just continue through till closing.
What advice do you have for the actual goal setting piece as defining what that goal is that you're going to get to no matter what?
I'm not huge on goal setting, which is, you know, probably not the best thing to say, but I just look towards the next thing that I'm trying to accomplish. And then I just take baby steps towards that until I accomplish it. But I don't have like a, you know, a Word document that says, this is my goal, I'm trying to accomplish it in this amount of time or anything like that. I just keep going and keep going, you know, and don't stop.
And Sarah, I think there's a balance there, right? I think we see some rookie investors who swing the pendulum so far the other way, where they've got their vivid vision, they've got, you know, their logo design, they've got their, you know, their 12-year target and, you know, their whatever it may be, right? But then they start thinking about things that are not relevant to the next step, right? And we get some rookie investors who ask, like, well, hey, how do I, you know, what happens when I have like 30 properties and I want to make sure that my asset protection is the right way? And you ask them, well, how many deals do you have right now? They're like, well, zero.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we don't need to worry about asset protection for, you know, a multi-million dollar portfolio. We just need to get you to the first deal. So I think there's an incredible amount of value in exactly what you said of just like, hey, what's the next step that I should be taking, right? And how do I focus on really, really moving the needle? I just drilling down on that just a little bit, Sarah, when you think about those next actions, how are you kind of like planning out your week at least, right? Like, do you have like a to-do list for the week, or are you just kind of sitting down and when you get in front of the computer, like, hey, what's the next thing for me to do?
Yeah. So in the past, I've, looked at a strategy. I'll take about 30 days to really dive into it and, pivot if I need to from there, but I don't spend too much time on any one strategy if it's not going to work out. But I also don't cut it too short to where I didn't give it its full time to have actually percolated and gone somewhere. One example was I was going to buy out of state in the not the Rocky Mountains, where you invest, Tony.
Smoky Mountains.
Yeah, Smoky Mountains. And then in North Carolina as well. I was with Abe.
I was like, Shreveport? I was like, not there.
No, so I got all signed up with Avery Carl my realtor, or not her, but someone on her team, and made that whole plan. But this was in like 2022 when interest rates went way up very quickly. So it took me, 3 or 4 months to refinance a property. There was just lots of mistakes. And by the time it was done, interest rates were at a way different place to where that plan no longer made sense. I could make just as much money investing in my backyard where I'm comfortable as I could, going elsewhere. So that's one example of, I really put everything into that strategy, and turns out it didn't work out because of the way the market was at that time.
So I want to hear more about your house hacking, because I think this is a really great foundation for new rookie investors to actually get started into real estate investing, or maybe if they're stuck after their first one or two deals. So tell us a little bit about this house hack, how you found it, what the numbers were like, and so on.
Yeah. So I was, I knew house hacking was a good thing to do for a long time, but I didn't want to give up my single family living. I'd been living in a single family home for quite a while at that point. So the way that I did it was I found a duplex that I could live with, that it didn't feel like I was sacrificing too much. So it's actually two single families just connected by a porch. They're just regular, like, colonial style homes. So I bought that for $600,000 in 2021 using an FHA loan. I was supposed to put 3.5% down, but turns out there's a thing called FHA loan limits, which nobody knew about, my loan officer, my realtor at the time, myself. So that, whatever it was, $17,000 turned into $80,000 that I needed to scrounge up before closing.
Sarah, before we move on, can you just explain what that loan limit is?
Yeah. So each county has a limit for how expensive a property can be for a single family, a 2-unit, a 3-unit, and a 4-unit. That changes periodically. And so the loan limit for my county at the time was less than what I was buying it for. It might have been like 525 or 530. And I was buying a $600,000 property. So more than halfway through the loan process, I find this out and had to, figure out what to do with that. So I ended up spending most of my 401k, a personal line of credit. I just pulled money from anywhere and everywhere just to get enough for closing. So at first I rented it to someone that, a long-term renter, and they paid, I believe, $2,500 a month. My mortgage was $3,035 a month at that point. So I paid, $535 a month. That lasted for about a year. And when they moved on, I sold them a house and they bought their own house. I was approached by a group home for intellectually disabled adults. And I had turned this option down in the past on my very first rental property because I'd heard horror stories and I just wasn't ready at that time. But the more I went into it, I was kind of just of the mindset, if it doesn't work, then I won't do it again. But what's the worst that can happen? And worst case scenario wasn't that bad. So I signed a 4-year lease with the group home last year for $3,050 a month. is what they pay. Taxes and insurance went up a little bit. So now we pay $3,127. So I pay like $77 a month again now for my mortgage, but I was, you know, mortgage free for like 6 months before that happened. So, but still not bad.
No, not at all. So what would you be able to rent your unit out if it wasn't to a group home and it was just to, you know, another family living there? What would you have to pay in rent to live in your unit that you're paying $77 for?
Probably $3,150.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah. So the group home's taking the other unit. They're just waiting for me to file my taxes and then we'll buy our next house hack. And because the group home likes to have duplexes so that if a staff member calls out on one side or something, they can go between the two.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
So I already have an agreement with them that they have the right of first refusal, but they're just waiting for us to move out and then they'll take over both sides at the same amount. So it'll be $6,100 and the mortgage will be $3,127.
So you are going to get flooded with this question. And if we don't ask it, we'll get flooded with this question because we've had people on that have done, you know, like rehab homes, rehab facilities.
Sober living.
Thank you, Tony. That's what I was looking for. So how did you get involved with this group home? How did they find you? How did you found them or however that worked out?
Yeah. So I had my rental on Facebook Marketplace and just a staff member from the group home. It's his job to find rentals. So he reached out to me and he really just was persistent and kept on me. I tried to turn him away a couple times and he just kept after me. And then we negotiated a higher rent than what I was putting it out for. I think I had it at $2,750 like as a long-term rental. And I was like, listen, I'm uncomfortable with this. I've never done it before. You know, $3,050 is what I need if you guys want to do this. And they said, okay, there's no rental increases in that time frame. So it's kind of fair to both of us where they might pay a little more in the beginning, but they'll probably pay less than market as time goes on. But since then, I've associated with a number of others because in our area, a lot of the people that work those jobs have moved here from different countries in Africa. And my husband is from East Africa. So a lot of the people that he knows is in that business. So now I have several that I could call, you know, at any point. And I got Amanda to do it too. So I've had a lot of my friends starting to do it because I tried it and nothing went bad. So
it's working. Yeah. I love that. You got the new strategy there. So I guess what are some questions, right? Because you said you were hesitant initially to move out of your single family home and do a house hack. What are some questions maybe that a rookie should ask themselves before jumping into their first house hack?
I guess just, you know, comfort versus financial gain is the big question. You know, you might not be as comfortable in a 4-unit place that feels like an apartment, you know, like more of your traditional apartments, but maybe you feel comfortable in the situation that I'm in with the two houses connected by a porch or side-by-side duplex. So I guess just getting clear with yourself and your family, what is most important and is there anything we can sacrifice to make this happen in the short run in order to make a better, more financially comfortable situation for ourselves in the long run?
We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, I want to hear how you were able to scale up. Was this use of partnerships? Was this just with doing creative financing? So we'll get into all those details when we get back from our short break.
This show is sponsored by Airbnb. Did you know that a long time ago, before I ever started my real estate business, I turned one of my first primary residences into an Airbnb? And that's the extra income that I needed from Airbnb that gave me the confidence to go out and work for myself and eventually quit my 9-to-5 job. And now I have dozens of Airbnbs all over the country. I've even partnered up with the old David Green on a recent property in Scottsdale to take our portfolio to the next level. And of course, we host it on Airbnb. But you don't need to be a full-time real estate investor to start on Airbnb. As a matter of fact, I was self-managing 10 properties while working my 9-to-5 job, so I know anybody can do it. Think about it this way. You're looking for extra income and going on a vacation. Wouldn't it be great to rent out your space and let your property pay for itself while you're gone? I did this one time. I pitched my wife and my roommate, because we were house hacking, on the idea of renting out our home, and it paid for all of our expenses on a trip to Mexico City. So go and give it a try. It might just change your life, just like it did mine. And I really do mean that. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I used to think working from home was the dream, until it wasn't. Between the distractions and the solitude, I was struggling. But then I discovered Industrious Office, and honestly, it's been a game changer. Every day at Industrious feels like stepping into a zone of productivity. The high-speed internet never fails me during crucial moments, and the workspace? It's not only stylish, but designed to boost your focus and creativity. Plus, the daily breakfast and endless coffees are super cool. Meeting other driven professionals right where I work has not just expanded my network, it's inspired me. It's amazing how being around other focused people can push you to achieve more, you know what I mean? If you're looking for a sign to change your workspace, this is it. Check out Industrious by visiting biggerpockets.com/industrious. Then click join now and use the promo code POCKETS to get a free week of co-working when you take a tour. That's biggerpockets.com/industrious and use promo code POCKETS after clicking join now. Experience for yourself how the right environment can change the way you work. Industrious, it's where your best work happens.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages. Until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right, get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
Rookies, 2024 is the year to start protecting your rental properties with an LLC. But you don't have to do all the paperwork and filing yourself. Corporate Direct is your professional and affordable option for getting your LLC done right. They handle the state filings, draft your operating agreement, and act as your registered agent. They'll even help you comply with the Corporate Transparency Act, a new federal disclosure law affecting every real estate investor. Corporate Direct is a family business founded by attorney, author, and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton over 35 years ago. Now, his son Ted is a licensed attorney working with him. Together, they've helped thousands of real estate investors form and maintain their LLCs and protect their assets. If you're trying to build a real estate portfolio, do not skip the LLC. Head over to corporatedirect.com/biggerpockets to schedule a free 15-minute consultation with an incorporating specialist. Mention Real Estate Rookie and get a $100 discount on your formation. That's corporatedirect.com/biggerpockets.
Okay, welcome back from our short break. We were with Sarah, who just told us about her house hack, and now we're going to talk about how she was able to scale her portfolio. So Sarah, what was the big thing that helped you to be able to scale in those 3 years since you started investing?
Yeah. So the first 2 years were slow and steady, a couple each year. But last year was really the year that I, you know, took it to a different level. And that was partnerships that brought me there, as well as creative finance. So Amanda Salovich, she was episode 207, I believe it was. Her and I have known each other for 7 years now, outside of the podcast. Neither one of us knew the other one was into real estate at all until 2020, when we saw each other at a real estate auction. We were both pregnant.
You guys knew each other. That's funny.
Yeah. We were both pregnant at the time. Our sons are like a month apart in age. And from there we just kept running into each other, with real estate stuff over and over. We were living kind of very similar lives, doing very similar things. And then just last May, we formed an LLC because we wanted to start flipping together. We both had quit our jobs at that point and neither one of us were bankable. So we knew we had to put 20% down to do things the way that we knew how to do things. So we were going to start flipping, but we still haven't done a flip yet. We ended up burring instead and just long-term buy and hold. And then the creative finance is the other piece that has come into play because, you know, it's not easy for me to get a bank loan until I file taxes this year. I was W-2 and I switched to 1099. So the banks don't really look at that until you've been doing it for 2 years. So we did.
I love the progression of the story here. And obviously for anyone that's interested in real estate partnerships, head over to biggerpockets.com/partnerships. You can pick up the book that Ash and I co-authored together about real estate partnerships. But sir, I think the question I have for you is what made you feel that stepping into a partnership for flipping with Amanda was the right step for you? Like what were you hoping to gain out of that partnership that you felt you wouldn't have been able to accomplish by yourself?
I was scared of the rehab piece of it. I didn't feel comfortable with that. She had done a little bit more with the BRRRR strategy and rehabs in some of her individual deals previously. And her husband is pretty handy. We use him on different projects now. So I felt like between the two of us, if something comes up, we've got, you know, double the money. You know, we both can contribute financially. We both can contribute mentally to it. So it just felt like in order to go to this place that's uncomfortable, this is the way that I'm going to get there without taking too long.
And what do you think, Sarah, was her motivation for partnering with you? Like if she brought the rehab experience, I guess what value did she see in partnering with you? Because there's always two sides to a coin there.
Yeah. So we think very similarly. And she also was nervous about not getting financing, you know, going forward financially. You know, we were both realtors. We were both making money that way. She had a few different projects going on. So that was one piece of it. And then she doesn't really like dealing with the tenants very much. So I do that. I have connections to private money that really help us out as far as making deals work because it's not all the points and everything that you get with hard money. So, and then creative finance is something she didn't do, she'd never done before and didn't know as much about. So she was, she kind of leans on me when it comes to that stuff.
So do you think that being a real estate agent has been beneficial to you as being an investor? Because this is also a very common question that we get as to, should I get my real estate license? And then after that, I'm also interested if your banking experience actually tied into real estate investing at all too.
Yeah. So I would not advise anyone to get their real estate license just for the purposes of investing. If you're going to also actively be a realtor, then absolutely. It's definitely helpful in my business. I'm seeing deals a lot. I'm around real estate 24/7. So it's nice to have an adjacent career to real estate. But there's, you know, fees you have to pay. There's courses you have to take to keep up with your licensure. So if you're not going to actually use it for something outside of yourself, or maybe if you're doing tons of deals, like you're a flipper, maybe it makes sense. But if you're just a rookie investor buying one or two properties a year, I would say no. And then the banking career, I think it definitely helped. I understand lending products very well, and I understand money very well. So I think that's certainly helped me in ways that I probably don't always recognize, but those concepts are not difficult for me.
Sarah, one follow-up from you, and this is going back to the partnership between you and your partner, Amanda. You said the goal was to flip. Was that actually the strategy that you guys leveraged, was just kind of flipping these houses to build up capital? Or how did that partnership result? How did that pan out actually?
Yeah, so we've tried to flip a few different times and it's never worked out. And the longer we've gone with not accomplishing that goal, the more I don't know that I really have that goal anymore. I think I just like the long-term buy and hold, and she really does too. So our like flips are really BRRRRs, which is a similar concept.
So you guys have transitioned more so into BRRRRs. And how many would you say you've completed since you started this journey 3 years ago?
Three.
Okay. Awesome.
Only one was intentional. The other two just kind of happened.
Wait, maybe dive into that story just a little bit so folks understand why you kind of stumbled into those other two.
Yeah. So the market was going up very crazy in, let's see, 2021 to 2022. Appreciation was supercharged. So I did, you know, little things to help improve properties during that time, but not intentionally doing a BRRRR. So I cash out refinanced and was able to, you know, use those funds to buy other properties, but it wasn't the goal of it. It just kind of happened because of natural appreciation.
So I want to ask a couple questions about the actual property management of these BRRRRs in your rental. So are you guys self-managing? Are you outsourcing it? And kind of give us some insight as to that operation.
So we're self-managing right now. We're definitely actively having conversations as recently as today about, you know, not doing that anymore. We're under contract for the 15 unit, like I said earlier. So once we close on that, I'm about at my capacity for what I can handle. I'm, you know, replying to people later now. I'm not as quick getting things rented out. I'm just too busy in my realtor business and with my son. So we need to figure out how to be able to add that in. So I think we're at that point.
And I think you made a great point there as to, yes, you're saving money by having you be the property manager, but also looking at how you are, you know, admitting that vacancies aren't getting filled as quickly. So there's also money being lost at the same time where hiring a third-party property management company can actually balance out what's happening. And especially if you take on the 15 unit too. I mean, I got to that point too, where I was ripping my hair out and couldn't handle anymore either.
So scary, like, you know, turning this stuff over to somebody else. We're thinking about maybe my husband starting to do some of that, but it's a lot to think about handing it to somebody else. Scary, but I think it's just going to have to happen probably this year.
Sarah, have you considered building out a team internally, like virtual assistants, and trying to systematize or put in some automation to take off some of the workload?
There is somebody who is interested in having me and Amanda partner with them. They're starting a property management company. So that conversation is in the works right now. So that's one possible way. But as far as building it out ourselves, I don't personally have interest in doing that, or I feel like I don't really have. I mean, the time is what you make it. So I look at it from how much money am I earning with that time? So right now as a realtor, I make significantly more money than I would make as a property manager or taking the time to build out systems. So that's where I focus a lot of my time, is where I can make the most money.
I've done each of those three routes that we talked about. I've self-managed, I hired a property management company, and then I went the route of building out my own team. And I have to say, so far, like, that third option was the best, but it took me so long, like 8 years, to actually get to that point. And I don't think there's any wrong or right way. It obviously depends on the company that you hire too, and things like that, for sure. But just so everyone knows, you do have different options out there, that there is no one best way for everyone to kind of tackle on that property management piece. And Bigger Pockets is actually coming out with a new book called The Self-Managing Landlord too. So keep an eye on biggerpockets.com to watch for that new book to come out too. Okay. And Sarah, lastly, can you just tell us what your buy box is for properties you're looking for right now? And maybe somebody listening will be able to bring you your next deal.
Yeah, I think the bigger, the better at this point. So like 5 units plus, preferably needing a little bit of work so that there's some value add there. But anything in the multifamily arena, really. I'm not doing much with single families anymore, but anything 2 units and up, definitely interested.
In what markets are you interested in?
So I live in Portland, Maine, and I go all the way up to Augusta. So anywhere in between those two places. So Southern and Central Maine.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us on Real Estate Rookie Podcast. We're going to put Sarah's information in the show notes, or we'll link them below in the YouTube description. If you love this episode with Sarah, feel free to reach out to her. You can also give us the thumbs up on YouTube or subscribe on your favorite podcast platform to this series. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'm Ashley and he's Tony, and we'll see you guys next time.
Getting started in real estate can be daunting. There's so much to know, obstacles to overcome, lessons to learn, and risks to avoid. It can all be so overwhelming. If you're feeling motivated to invest, but too overwhelmed to take action, here's some advice. Take it one step at a time. And here's some good news for you. The Rookie Bootcamp is starting on May 20th, and Tyler and Ashley will be guiding you through each and every step until you're the proud, confident owner of your first investment property. Through 8 action-packed weeks, they'll guide you step-by-step through those first questions, decisions, and obstacles that every beginner investor must overcome. So if you're serious about becoming an investor this year, head to biggerpockets.com/step and join us in the Rookie Bootcamp. See you there.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all host and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.